From the newsroom of PCJ Radio International, this is Focus Asia Pacific. India's Parsi population is in steep decline. Now the government's funding fertile treatment and advocacy to encourage the community to make more Parsi babies. We have this special documentary look at the situation, produced and presented by Linda Presley.
My name's Kaizad and Debu, and I'm just getting married to a pretty lady called Zinia Bakir.
And did it take you very long to find yourself a Parsi bride?
Well, it didn't take me long to find her, but it took me 5 years to convince her to marry me. But you'll see why it took me 5 years, because she's far more gorgeous than what I am. So I think
you're looking pretty gorgeous.
Thank you. So I think I've hit a bumper jackpot.
Now, I've come to Mumbai because there's this worry about the Parsi community diminishing. Have you talked about having children with your bride-to-be?
Well, yes, of course, we have. But we will, of course, balance it out between family life and career.
But you are planning kids.
Of course, of course. There is no doubt about it. And we start from tonight itself. Just kidding.
Kaizad's jokes are lighthearted, but procreation is a serious worry. There are only half as many Parsis in India now as there were in the 1940s. It's a population in freefall, estimated at around just 60,000. Late marriage, no marriage, intermarriage are variously given as reasons. But the fact is that for every Parsi born, four are dying.
See, there are two different wings, ladies and gents.
And how many people are living here?
I'd say around about 45 gents and 45 ladies. Very few have children.
Ardavaz Mistry is one of the trustees of the Bombay Parsi Panchayat, a centuries-old, all-powerful administrative body that runs the Parak Dharamshala Old People's Home in Mumbai. Ardavaz walks me around, through airy corridors into large rooms where six or seven residents share the space, each allotted a small single bed.
She's
Hello.
Miss Linda. Yeah. Yeah. She has come.
Keki Metaji tells me how he came to be living here at the age of 78.
My business failed.
Oh dear, so I'm sorry. What kind of business were you in?
Mushroom growing, I started.
Mushroom growing?
Pharmaceutical also. My brother died, mother, father died. That also went bad.
Right, so your brother died, mother, father died, and then your business failed. That's very unfortunate. Yeah. And did you ever marry?
No, I'm bachelor.
And did you ever think about getting married?
Circumstances didn't permit.
And when you were a young man, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Yeah.
Did you have any romances?
Quite a few.
Quite a few? And what happened?
Nothing.
Because the girls didn't want to get married, or
That's
you didn't
all.
Want to
something
get
married? Something like that.
The girls didn't want to get married.
No.
Why? But because you were not earning well?
Not earning well. Absolutely, my parents were there. You can't leave your parents. I don't like to leave the parents.
Time.
Because the reason I've come from the BBC in London is because a lot of Parsis are very worried because children are not being born in the community.
There are too many old people. There's no solution unless you take some from other community. But then they're again at the same problem.
Why other community will tell our children only to produce four or five children?
Yeah, it's not possible like that.
Keki's pessimistic. But Ardavaz, steely and not to be messed with, is one of those Parsis who believes something can be done. And the Indian government agrees. In spite of its everyday message to the general population of please limit your families, it stumped up around $1.5 million for fertility treatment and advocacy to increase the Parsi birth rate. The aim is to produce 200 babies over 5 years. Funding for Geoparsi, as it's called, comes from the Ministry of Minority Affairs, where Dr. Najma Heptullah presides.
We are helping them, motivating them first to get married young, at a reproductive age, trying to help them if they need any support. We give them medical support and help.
But why are the Parsis so important to India?
Every community is important to us, but Parsis have also contributed greatly in this country, as far as education is concerned, as far as the industrialization is concerned, the big names, the Tatas, Godrej, and there are many names. There have been lawyers, very good politicians. They contributed very well. And
so in a way then, Jio-Parsi is India giving something back to the Parsis, is it?
It is giving back to our people. They are Indians. Regardless of their number, their contribution is much more. I want them to survive.
Mumbai is a city that pays homage to the ghosts of Parsi history. Traders, shipbuilders, administrators, wealthy philanthropists. The streets are littered with statues and buildings, reminders of their glorious past. It was after the beginning of the 8th century that the Parsis arrived in India from Iran, fleeing Islam and religious persecution. They settled in Gujarat on India's west coast, but began to migrate to Mumbai in the 17th century. That's when the Towers of Silence were built, the sacred place Zoroastrians consign their dead, where bodies are offered to the elements and were once, before they died out, devoured by vultures. In Mumbai, the Parsis formed useful alliances with the British. But there are still some Zoroastrians in Iran, and that's where Rustam found Parnas when he visited from India.
There I saw her from a distance, then she saw me at a glance.
And what did you think when you saw him?
It is magic.
Magic.
And then I believe to God, to fate.
Then you believe in God and fate.
Yeah.
This couple, whose names I've changed at their request, have spent savings of $5,000 on IVF treatment. Now they've come forward for the Jio-Parsi scheme, financial assistance from the Indian government to aid a longed-for conception.
Up to 2 to 3 cycles, they said they'll be helping us out.
And what about you, Parnas? How do you feel about this process?
Before that, we have a lot of hope. After failing, it is very hard. Sorry. This failure, I think, spiritually, it is my problem. It is kind of failure.
That's what you feel?
50% of the woman.
That's the negative side of what you feel. But then tell me about how you feel now about the Jio-Parsi program.
The Jio-Parsi.
Because that's more positive, right?
Jio-Parsi helping us. I put my body under the treatment, very painful, but I tolerate it.
It'll happen.
And you're smiling away. You look very optimistic.
Yeah. At least, yeah. For the moment, I'm optimistic, and in future also. And I want a baby, at least one, be it a boy or a girl.
Obviously, this is very, very personal. But are you also thinking about the future, that the Parsi community needs new babies?
Yes, very much. Obviously, we have to grow in numbers. And in a few years' time, we'll be wiped out.
That's a real fear for some. And with the publicity generated by the Jio-Parsi campaign, it's a talking point, and not just among Parsis. A newspaper cartoon featured two disconsolate-looking panda bears sitting in a cage, one of them saying, "So much pressure on us to breed. What do they take us for? Parsis?"
Where do you want me to sit?
Should we sit in the shade there?
Yes.
Khushru Bagh is lovely. It's one of Mumbai's leafy Parsi colonies, low-rise apartments built around a garden. Dr. Feroz Kotwal, High Priest of the Zoroastrian community, yes, takes a seat on a bench in front of the colony's fire temple.
The fire burns there continuously, you see. And in 1934, this colony was constructed. And then in 1935, this fire temple was built.
So the fire never goes out.
Our people, they send their messages to God through the medium of fire, you see.
It's tranquil here under the trees, but the calm belies disharmony within the community. And some of that's linked to disagreements about who is and who isn't a Parsi, which of course has an impact on population. Most contentious is mixed marriage. It works like this. If a Parsi man weds a non-Parsi, his children are still considered Parsi and can be initiated into the Zoroastrian religion. If a Parsi woman marries out, her children are not deemed Parsi. I ask the High Priest where he stands.
A Parsi is one who is born of Parsi parents, that is, from mother's side and from father's side. Because our forefathers, they suffered so much under Islam, you see, in Iran, persecution and all such things. So it is our duty to preserve our own race.
But what about Parsi men who marry out? Their children are Parsis, no?
They are taking refuge under law, but religiously speaking, it is not allowed.
So tell me about how you see the future for the Parsi community.
They must follow in the footsteps of their forefathers. Be industrious, be courageous.
And have lots of children.
Of course, of course. If they marry in the 20s and so on, then they can have some, say, 4 children or something like that. So it is hopeful at that age.
And your children, did they marry Parsis?
My 2 children, they have married Parsis only. And one boy, he's in Australia, and he's with some Hindu girl, which I do not approve of. And I have not seen her. Although she has come here, that is in Bombay.
What, you don't meet her?
No. Why is that? Oh, surprised?
That's very sad.
Because not because she is Hindu, but because my son has married a non-Parsi girl.
Apart from family discord, there may be further consequences, especially for a Parsi girl marrying a non-Parsi boy. This may affect a woman's access to fire temples and the Towers of Silence, access which is generally controlled by the local Parsi panchayat. I arranged to meet Gulrukh Gupta and her parents, who are visiting from Gujarat, at Gulrukh's sky-high apartment looking out to the Arabian Sea.
This is an amazing view. I mean, old and new Mumbai, no? You've got all of these skyscrapers. And
yes.
Then
Dhobi Ghat. You know, that's a place where everyone comes to see, you know, when they come from abroad. I don't know what they like to see.
Oh, they want to see people washing
colony.
Their clothes.
Yes.
Waterman's colony. Waterman's colony.
Washerman, yeah.
Washerman's colony. Well, let's go inside and we can have a chat.
Yeah.
They're a lively family, but the mood quickly sobers. Gulrukh Gupta is fighting in court to ensure she, as a Parsi woman married to a Hindu man, will be allowed to attend the last rites of her parents in Valsad in Gujarat, where they live.
In 2003, my maternal uncle passed away. I went for his last rites. I stayed for all 4 days in the Tower of Silence and the Agyari. No one stopped me. But after 2003, the trust which had changed were very orthodox.
And so if something happened to one of your parents,
right.
You would just be prevented from going?
Yes. And the thought that, okay, my parents might be no more tomorrow and I would not be allowed, it's like mentally abusing a woman every second. The thought is very unpleasant for me. We are 3 sisters married to non-Parsis. All 3 sisters would not be able to attend if this law continues. It's like bullying people. Who gives them the right to do that?
Listening to their daughter are Dina's contractor and her husband, Addy. She's very, very passionate, your daughter, about this. What do you think?
I think that it is absolutely wrong. That girl has no identification of her own.
Does this keep you awake at night?
We are 24 hours disturbed regarding this.
And what do you think about this anxiety that I'm picking up in Mumbai amongst the Parsi, or some people in the Parsi community, that the numbers of Parsis are diminishing so much that this is a community that's going to disappear?
I feel that this diminishing number is brought by ourselves, by discriminating between our men and women. There are so many girls who are married outside. So many children could have been there.
Did you think about wanting to marry a Parsi before you met your husband?
I did see many Parsi boys, which my father, of course, tried to arrange for me. But nothing worked out.
And with your other 2 daughters, did you try and find them a husband as well?
I was not given a chance to find them. They found themselves.
In Mumbai, I find that Parsis laugh a lot. But Suni Tarapovala, accomplished screenwriter, author and photographer, is worried hers is a community that's losing its sense of humour.
We used to be a community that laughed at ourselves. I'm sure you've heard that a million times. And we had plays that laughed at ourselves. We had jokes that laughed at ourselves. But now if you put anything out into the public domain, there are lots of people who are going to be very quick to take offence to that.
So Parsis are feeling more precious?
They've always been very precious. We have always been very precious. But now even more so, yes.
So this kind of famous Parsi sense of humour.
Yeah. I'll give you an example of this Parsi sense of humor. Years ago, you know this controversy about the vultures, right? You've heard about it.
Well, there aren't any left.
There aren't any left, and it's one of the most contentious issues that is dividing the community since, I think, 2000, when it was discovered that there were very few left. And at that time, my family and I had gone south, and we met this wonderful Parsi gentleman who runs a kind of hotel outside a game park, and we were chatting about the vulture thing, and he told us that he said, you know, the other day I saw a vulture flying overhead, so I sent off a telegram to the Bangalore head priest, and I said, spotted vulture overhead, quick, send dead Parsi. So that's an example of our sense of humor.
And where do you stand on all of those kind of controversies that are in the community?
I stand on the sensible side. I believe it's, first of all, it's ridiculous what is happening in the community with not allowing women who've married non-Parsis to be Parsis, for their kids to be Parsis. I mean, it's so absurd. It's almost a joke that we are so minuscule and we are still shunning people and keeping them out.
Now, there's a statue here, that of Sadinsha Edilji Vacha. He was one of the founders of the Congress movement in India.
A freedom fighter.
A freedom fighter.
Kajasti Mistry, a trustee of the Bombay Parsi Panchayat, guides walking tours of Parsi Mumbai and runs an organisation called Zoroastrian Studies. A traditionalist, he takes an uncompromising position on Parsis like Gulrukh Gupta, who wed non-Parsis.
Sorry as one might feel at a personal level, they need to recognise that if they've chosen to marry out, they've broken the rules of the religious customs, traditions and practices, and there is a price one pays for it.
That sounds quite hard line, and I suppose that...
Linda, why is it hard line? If somebody chooses consciously to break the customs and traditions of a religious group, what is hardlined about it? Tell me.
But don't religions evolve?
Religions evolve, yes, but religions...
And customs change?
Customs change, yes, but these are customs which are linked to ethnicity. And if we want to preserve the Parsi ethnic identity, then marrying out is not the answer. If we encourage our children to marry out by turning a blind eye to our kids marrying out, then I do not foresee Zoroastrianism surviving into the next century. These are the people who are breaking down something that we've preserved for 3,500 years. They're destroying the very fabric of community existence.
Is that how young Parsis see it?
Chai, coffee.
At Nariman Point, a chaiwala peddles his wares as I wait on the seawall for a 20-something I'll call Ria, a young woman looking for love. I want to ask her about the geo-Parsi advertisements that appeared with the aim of encouraging Parsis to get a move on and have more kids. They're tongue-in-cheek. Be responsible, don't wear a condom tonight, reads one. And they play with stereotypes, especially the high-achieving Parsi woman. I ask Ria if she's had a relationship yet.
One before.
With a Parsi?
No. So now I'm actually being really conscientious and looking for one because I genuinely want to settle down with one.
I mean, one of the ads is about women having too high expectations of Parsi boys. And I've heard that as well from some of the older people I meet. They've said, these Parsi girls, they're working, they're highly educated, they earn a lot of money and they want a boy who's doing the same. That's not possible. They've got to bring the sights down a bit.
Why should one stoop down?
But I suppose the thing is it realistic? Are you going to find somebody who's doing as well as you?
As cliched as it might sound, I'm going to leave that to destiny. For example, if the guy is not doing very well but has potential, yeah, go for it. But if he is just sitting on a couch doing nothing and living off his parents, I mean, that's not exactly where you want to settle down at. I mean, as I told you, I would love, love marrying a Parsi, and that's my first and probably only preference. But I'm not going to settle for someone who is not doing well in life and who I do not see a happy future with.
Ria's approach seems quite European. But Parsis are more westernised, which is partly why their numbers have decreased. For a start, being single is acceptable. And they were ahead of the game on girls' education. Many women work. They also expect to live separately from their parents, something that delays marriage if they save or wait for a flat. And couples began family planning decades ago to ensure they could pay for a good education for their children.
Welcome back to the home of your ancestors.
So, Mr. Kohinoor is showing me a letter from Windsor Castle, the Queen's lady-in-waiting, thanking him for his loyal sentiments.
Please give all my love to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth.
I think this is what's called Faded Charm. It's the most famous Parsi restaurant in Mumbai, the Britannia, an establishment just 8 years short of a century old. And Bowman Kohinoor was born the year his father opened here, 1923.
Yes, 1923. I'm 92. I'm going on 93 now. There were about 300 to 400 Parsi restaurants in Mumbai in the 1950s, but now hardly 30. But the problem with the Parsis is that now the number is decreasing.
And do you feel sad about that?
But what can I do? Even if I feel sad, what can I do? I talk to my sons. I say we must start converting people. If they like to embrace our religion, let us accept them. But my sons say no. Now a few priests have performed our religious rites and accepted some outsiders to be Parsi.
One of those priests is Khushru Madan, who lives in Godrejbagh, a Parsi colony perched high on Malabar Hill, close to the Towers of Silence. He's been called a renegade priest and banned from the Towers of Silence by the Bombay Parsi Panchayat because he performs Zoroastrian rites at interfaith weddings, initiates the children of Parsi mothers married to non-Parsis, and conducts cremations. Khushru Madan believes Zoroastrianism is inclusive and says scripture doesn't forbid conversion.
It's a universal religion. Even non-Parsis can follow Zoroastrian religion. What they are saying is that the Parsi is a Zoroastrian and Zoroastrian is a Parsi, which is not so. There are so many non-Parsi Zoroastrians all over the world. And they are not Parsis, but they are Zoroastrians.
But what more orthodox people say is that this is not just about religion, it's about ethnicity. And what is special about the Parsis is their ethnicity.
Yes, but what else can we do? If you completely discard Parsi lady married to non-Parsi, and if you discard her children also, then no one will be left. At least here, that mix half Parsi and full Zoroastrian will be left, no? We have no choice. No.
So half Parsi is better than no Parsi?
No Parsi, exactly, yes.
At the Parak Dharamshala Old People's Home, where most of the residents are childless, the sitting room's packed for the afternoon music session. At the front, radiant and singing along, is 81-year-old Fraini Kavas Madan, a widow and former teacher. Back in the room she shares with three others, she tells me about life with her Parsi husband.
50 years I was with my husband. His photo is there.
Ah, and behind Fraini she's got a lovely picture of her husband in a white shirt with large glasses. Ah, and under her mattress. Oh, Fraini, this is you.
Yes.
This is a lovely sepia picture of Fraini with her husband and a dog.
A dog.
Because Parsis love dogs, no?
Yeah, we love dogs. Always used to call me my Jiwala. My Jiwala means my darling. And why I liked him, because he was very fond of music. I wanted to see him playing piano in the concert. That is why I got married to him.
Bésame, bésame mucho.
Every Saturday he used to have a drink and we will play the music and we'll dance together. And opposite neighbors, no, they used to watch. And one day one neighbor wrote a letter to me, please when you do dancing, close your window. My girls are getting spoiled.
And what about children, Fraini?
No, we didn't have any issue, no. I wanted one, but God doesn't give you everything, no. I was telling Lord, Lord, you have not given me a child, what is this? And my servant said, bye, I have got 5 children. So out of my five children, I'm giving you my eldest son to you.
And did he live with you?
Yeah, he lived with me. And some problem was there with all other Parsis community. Okay, why you are keeping Maharashtrian boy? Why can't you look after one Parsi boy? And he looks after me. He comes here and takes care of me.
So he's like a son for you.
He's a Maharashtrian boy.
Franey fulfilled her yearning for motherhood by unofficially adopting a non-Parsi boy. But adoption isn't accepted by many Parsis, so the options for childless couples are limited.
And who is this?
Hufriya.
Hufriya. How old is she?
5 months.
5 months. Hufriya has got a real shock of dark hair, no? And she's got the hiccups.
Yeah, just now had a milk and it started hiccups.
For those who believe the existential threat to India's Parsis can be slowed, if not completely halted, Hufriya represents a new generation of hope. She's one of 30 babies born so far under the Geo-Parsi scheme, 7 of them as a result of paid-for fertility treatment. A further 17 women are pregnant. Hufriya's mum, Persis, can't quite believe her luck.
That thing which I wanted from this much years, 11 years of my marriage, I got this baby.
And so what's next? Are you going to do it again?
Let's grow up. Let's grow up.
But would you like to have more children?
Yeah, I love the children more.
And the special documentary looking at the Parsi population in India was produced and presented by Linda Presley. And with that, we've come to the end of the program. If you wish to get in touch with us, our email address is focus@pcjmedia.com. Once again, focus@pcjmedia.com. And do let us know how you heard the program, if it was off medium wave, shortwave, FM, or the satellite. Because we definitely want to know these things. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.